Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Believers get their strength from God, given to them because of abundant grace, His unmerited favor towards them through Christ. And the grace that none of us deserves is our focus on today's broadcast. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on how you can be sure that you will spend eternity with God. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a message on why is grace amazing? As he lists the characteristics of grace, he's telling us why.
Please don't ever forget this. That there is no common ground between human goodness and divine holiness. And looked at from one standpoint, one great sinner is just as far from God as all the lesser ones who traipse around thinking that they are so much better than other people. Always remember that. You say, well, surely good people are closer to God. Well, maybe a bit closer. Look at the difference between the height of Moody Church and the Sears Tower. There's quite a difference. You say, well, the Sears Tower is sure a lot taller than Moody Church. Yes, it is. But you know, if we stopped comparing the buildings that way and said, now, which building is closest to Orion, which is one of the constellations a couple of hundred or thousand light years away, which one is closer? Well, the top of the Sears Tower is closer than the top of Moody Church. But the differences are negligible. They don't count, because God has declared all are under sin, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Paul says in the book of Romans that every mouth will be stopped and the whole world guilty before God. To change the illustration, let's suppose that you are going to open a door to a castle, and the only way you can open the door is with a very special gold coin that has been especially minted to get in. You can have a whole line of people who say, well, I've got dollar bills and I've got these pennies. And somebody says, I've got more pennies than you have. I'm better than you. And you have all of these arguments regarding who is the best and who is the most. Folks, irrelevant. Hush. Only the people with the gold coin of grace can enter. Everything else is irrelevant. Grace is unaffected by the degree of our sin. God can save a John Wayne Gacy just as easily as He can save a churchgoer. John Wayne Gacy was not saved, by the way, because he died unrepentant. But he could have been. He could have been. That's why grace is so amazing. There's a third characteristic, and that is it takes us all the way to heaven. Now notice what the Apostle Paul says, by grace you have been saved, and verse 6, and God raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's a verse that I can only read today, but I have to skip. If you remember the first message in this series, I talked about the ladder that some people want to climb to heaven and the futility of the whole thing. Well, you know, when God raised us up from the dead, from the cemetery, He not only helped us halfway to heaven, the Bible says He took us the whole way and we are seated there already. Now, if you think that that creates legal problems for a holy God, and it does, legal problems that He had to solve, I want you to come back next week, because that's what we're going to be talking about. And the absolute implications of what grace does and why God can do such wondrous things for sinners. So we must hurry on. It is a gift that takes us all the way to heaven. Number four, let me emphasize, it is a gift of God. Let's continue to read. By the way, it says in verse 7 that in order that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. And then those famous verses, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And it is a reference to God's saving grace and even the faith that we appropriated with is a gift of God, not the result of works. I told you a moment ago, God took human works and set it aside and said, unusable, lest any man should boast. You can't boast when you receive a free gift that is so incredibly undeserved. It is a free gift. Back on the farm where I grew up, we used to listen to the radio. And we used to listen to certain evangelists that came on, and they always wanted an appeal at the end. I remember one man whom you would never know because he's not on the radio anymore, but I used to impersonate him. And I'd hate to do that for you this morning, but with a little coaxing, I guess I could. He used to say, "Now, my dear friend, if you will send me $5, I will send you absolutely free this new book." And I used to sit there at the age of 10 and say, "This doesn't compute." I mean, what do you mean, send you $5, which in those days, by the way, when I was 10 years old, was an awful lot of money. What do you mean, send you $5? If it's absolutely free, you not only should send the book, but you ought to pay for the postage that is used to write and ask you for it. Because that's what God does. He pays the whole freight, the whole way. It's not like salvation. It is a free gift. Do you know what that means? You will never, ever repay it. Ever, ever, ever. If you could repay it, even in the smallest amount, God would have to regard it and God would have to acknowledge the payment. But the Bible says it is of grace and it is not of works, lest no man should boast, so that nobody ever stands before God and says, "Well, God, you did this for me, but after all, I did pay you a bit back." Listen to this very carefully. God owns so much. Do you ever think that God would have to buy anything? Does God ever have to go shopping and say, "Well, you know, I'm running out of supplies," much less use a credit card to have to do it? No. But the Bible does say God purchased one thing. It says that he purchased his church with his own blood. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, that was redemption. God purchased us. And it is insulting to think that we could ever pay him back. There was an Indian Hindu who became the friend of a Christian missionary, and they spent many hours talking about salvation, and the Hindu could never understand how Christians can believe that salvation is a free gift and that it does not have to be paid back. The Hindu said that he was going to attain to salvation by going to Delhi on his knees. But before he left, he wanted to give a gift to his missionary friend whom he had come to love, and he gave a beautiful pearl, very delicately formed. And he said, "I want you to have this pearl, and I want you to know that my son died while capturing it, and now it's yours." The missionary received it and then said, "But I need to pay you for it. Let me pay you for it." And the man was insulted. He said, "How can you pay for something that was purchased by my son's death?" Then it began to dawn on him. How can we pay to God that which was a free gift given by his precious son's death? We will never pay. Never. Now there are some people who say, "Oh, I'm so unworthy of grace." Well, my dear friend, join the club, would you? Would you? We're all unworthy of it. That's the whole point. Grace is God's unmerited favor, undeserved, unearned, and never recompensed. That's the whole point of grace. Some people say, "Well, I have to make myself ready to receive grace by a proper amount of sorrow." There is a sorrow that leads to repentance, no doubt about that. But how do you know when you have enough sorrow finally? Somebody else, like an alcoholic, said to me, "Well, you know, I hope to receive Christ sometime, but I need to know that I will be able to hold out. So I'm going to wait until I know I can get off the bottle." Ugh, forget it. You're going to wait until you know that you can hold out? You're going to wait forever, my friend, because you're never going to know that. Grace is a free gift, and you come as you are. Notice number one, it sets aside all human effort. Secondly, it is unaffected by the degree of our sin. Thirdly, it takes us all the way to heaven. Fourthly, it is a gift of God. And finally, it is very difficult to accept. Very difficult to accept. Somebody listening to this says, well, you know what they do there at the Moody Church? They just preach this business of cheap grace. I want you to know today that to accept the grace of God is difficult, though it is a free gift. Let me tell you two categories of people that find it difficult to accept God's grace. Luther said that the natural man is on a pendulum and he swings between pride and despair. So first of all, we're going to talk about those who are in despair. The drug addict, the child molester, the murderer, the practicing homosexual, the adulterer, the alcoholic. All of these people find it difficult to accept God's grace frequently because what they're saying in themselves is, if you only knew, God is so mad at me, there's no way that I'm going to talk to him about this. He's just waiting in heaven ready to spew me out of his mouth. He's so angry. Oh, what a wretch I am. And so they look at other people and they revise their estimation of themselves downward because they say, I am unworthy. They find it hard to receive God's grace. Then there's another category, those goody-two-shoes religious types.
Well, once again, my friend, you certainly are going to have to listen to Running to Win next time to hear the rest of this message, because no matter how we evaluate ourselves, we always come up short. Let me ask you this question. Would you rejoice if I were to tell you that this message that you have just listened to will be heard in Arabic throughout the Middle East? It's because of people like you that the ministry of Running to Win can continue. I'm holding in my hands a letter from someone listening in Lebanon. Just to snatch a phrase, he says, I feel ready to take a real step in my walk with Christ because of what I've heard. Now, he said that he was listening quietly to Running to Win. Why? Because you know that there are countries today where if people identify with Christianity, they could be persecuted. Very quickly, I hope that you can write this down. Would you like to help us? Go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. When you're there, you click on the Endurance Partner button. Endurance Partners help us consistently. Once again, offerrtw.com.
Next time on Running to Win, Pastor Lutzer concludes a message on Why is Grace Amazing? By listing more characteristics of the grace we all need. It's part of his current series on how you can be sure that you will spend eternity with God. Running to Win is all about helping you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. How You Can Be Sure is a series designed to give you certainty about how to get to heaven. All 6 messages can be yours on CD for a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about how you can be sure. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.